And so that you will without doubt know that Baha'u'llah did tell the world of Christianity that he was the Father, the one foretold by Christ, let me share with you a few more of his words. These words were written to one of the supreme heads of Christianity, Pope Pius IX of Rome. These are the words of Baha'u'llah. The word which the Son Jesus concealed is made manifest. It hath been sent down in the form of a human temple in this day. Blessed be the Lord who is the Father. He verily is come unto the nations in his most great majesty. This is the day whereon the rock Peter crieth out and shouteth, saying, Lo, the Father is come, and that which ye were promised in the kingdom is fulfilled. All right. Now, Marguerite, what about that last phrase in the prophecy of Isaiah? What did Isaiah say?
He said, And his name shall be called the Prince of Peace.
All right, now we're down to it. The Prince of Peace, not Christ, surely. Jesus in Matthew 10:34 said plainly, Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Christ also said, Luke 12:51, Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. Baha'u'llah, on the other hand, did come to bring peace on earth. Baha'u'llah gave us the laws, the principles, the agencies, the institutions, and the teachings in his many volumes of his writings by which world peace could be established and permanently secured for all men. To a famous Christian scholar and Orientalist, E.G. Brown of Cambridge University, who met Baha'u'llah in Israel, when he, Baha'u'llah, was there as a prisoner, Baha'u'llah said plainly,
These ruinous wars shall pass away, and the most great peace shall come.
Let me share with you a few more words of Baha'u'llah on this subject, so there can be no doubt about his call to the rulers of the world for peace. Baha'u'llah says, O rulers of the earth, be reconciled among yourselves, that ye may need no more armaments save in a measure to safeguard your territories and dominions. Beware lest ye disregard the counsels of the all-knowing, the faithful. End of quotation. And yet again, quote, My object, this is Baha'u'llah speaking, my object is none other than the betterment of the world and the tranquility of its peoples. The well-being of mankind, its peace and security, are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established. This unity can never be achieved so long as the counsels which the pen of the Most High hath revealed are suffered to pass unheeded. End of quotation. And so we see peace, disarmament, and once again the counsels of the counselor in the words of Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah speaks again of world peace, words written some 100 years ago, mind you. These are his words.
The time must come when the imperative necessity for the holding of a vast and all-embracing assemblage of men will be universally realized. The rulers and kings of the earth must needs attend it, and, participating in its deliberations, must consider such ways and means as will lay the foundation of the world's great peace among men. Such a peace demandeth that the great powers should resolve, for the sake of the tranquility of the peoples of the earth, to be fully reconciled among themselves. End of quotation.
And then Baha'u'llah goes on to call for arbitration, for disarmament. Baha'u'llah warns the kings of their downfall if they fail to heed his counsels. In that same book, Baha'u'llah also addressed the democratic bodies of the world, calling upon them to build that same peace and unity. He said,
O ye elected representatives of the people in every land, take ye counsel together, and let your concern be only for that which profiteth mankind and bettereth the condition thereof.
Isn't that wonderful?
That which the Lord hath ordained as sovereign remedy and mightiest instrument for the healings of all the world is the union of all its peoples in one universal cause, one common faith.
End of quotation. Baha'u'llah called mankind to the day of the one fold and the one shepherd, promised in the sacred scriptures. He gave to the leaders of men all the guidance, the laws, the agencies, the institutions they needed to establish and preserve peace on earth. So Baha'u'llah was indeed the Prince of Peace. All right, let's talk about some of the questions that people ask. Perhaps they say, Baha'u'llah's name is strange. Baha'u'llah, what does it mean? And what about false prophets? Well, the Baha'is have wonderful answers from the sacred scriptures for all of these questions. And this is one of the most welcome questions to Baha'is. Christ did say clearly, beware of false prophets. Christ also said, take heed that no man deceive you. Those last words are in the very same chapter in which Christ speaks of his coming, about his return, and tells his disciples exactly how they can recognize the time of his coming. The reason Christ gives his followers such clear evidence of when he will return in this chapter about false prophets is so they won't make a mistake. Christ tells the Christians exactly how they can determine whether a prophet is false or not. Christ gives his followers a simple, clear formula, one which they can use to determine if a prophet is true or false. What was that formula? Prophecy.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 19. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
By their fruits ye shall know them. Well, nothing could be plainer than that, right? You shall know the prophet by his fruits. If he brings forth bad fruit, he's a false prophet. If he brings forth good fruit, he's true. Christ said that. So let us see how Baha'u'llah measures up to this formula of Jesus. Baha'u'llah's teachings bring a healing message to all men. Among these fruits are the love of God, the love of man, the elimination of all forms of prejudice, the independent investigation of truth, the pursuit of peace, the harmonizing of capital and labor, education for all children and peoples, the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty, the harmony of religion and science, the equality of opportunity for both women and men. And these are but a few of the wonderful things which Baha'u'llah has taught. Baha'u'llah not only taught these principles, he showed mankind how they could be established. Baha'u'llah wrote over 100 volumes upon all aspects of life. These books are filled with spiritual fruits to nourish mankind. It was a famous Christian clergyman, Dr. T.K. Cheney of Oxford University in England, who said,
if there is any prophet in recent times, it is to Baha'u'llah that we must go. Baha'u'llah was a man of the highest class, that of prophets.
Why? Because of the fruits which Baha'u'llah brought to the world. This is yet another of the promises of Christ fulfilled by the coming of Baha'u'llah. The Christians of the world can hasten to embrace the faith of Baha'u'llah, confident that he is a true prophet. It was not a Baha'i, but a Christian educator and scholar, Dr. George Washington Carver of Tuskegee Institute, who said of the faith of Baha'u'llah,
I am so happy to know that the Christ-like...
Note those words, the Christ-like.
The Christ-like gospel of goodwill is growing throughout the world. You hold in your organization, the Baha'i faith, the key that will settle all of our difficulties, real and imaginary. May God bless, keep, and prosper you.
Why did this great educator say that? Because of the fruits that Baha'u'llah brought into the world, that's why. A famous historian, Dr. Herbert Adams Gibbons, also a Christian and not a Baha'i, called Baha'u'llah's teachings a regenerating force in the world. Dr. Gibbons said,
taken together, they...
The teachings of Baha'u'llah.
Taken together, they form an unanswerable argument and plea for the only way that the world can be made over.
Why? Because of the fruits which Baha'u'llah brought into the world, the love, the kindness, the generosity, the understanding, but above all, the social justice. Baha'u'llah has written,
"The best beloved of all things in my sight is justice. Turn not away therefrom, if thou desirest me."
Let me give you a few more excerpts of Baha'u'llah's words. You judge for yourself what kind of fruits Baha'u'llah has brought into the world. For example, Baha'u'llah wrote, "The essence of faith is fewness of words and abundance of deeds. Beware lest ye walk in the ways of them whose words differ from their deeds. Men must show forth fruits. A fruitless man, in the words of His Holiness the Spirit, Jesus the Christ, is like a fruitless tree and is fit for the fire." End of quotation. Judge Baha'u'llah by those words and by these.
"Let your acts be a guide to all mankind. It is through your deeds that ye can distinguish yourselves from others. Through them, the brightness of your light can be shed upon the whole earth."
The writings of Baha'u'llah's faith, his teachings, his fruits, can be seen also in these words. Abdul Baha, Baha'u'llah's son, explained these fruits, saying,
"Do not be content with showing friendship in words alone. Let your heart burn with loving kindness for all who cross your path."
This is another fruit by which to judge Baha'u'llah.
"Show the utmost kindness and compassion to the sick and suffering. This has greater effect than the remedy itself. You must always have his love and affection when you visit the ailing and afflicted."
And just these last few fruits. Baha'u'llah instructed that the people who love God must be busied with whatever may be conducive to the betterment of the world and the education of its peoples. And in another place, Baha'u'llah writes this, "They who are the people of God have no ambition except to revive the world, to ennoble its life and regenerate the people. Truthfulness and goodwill have at all times marked their relations with all men. Their outward conduct is but a reflection of their inward life, and this inward life a mirror of their outward conduct." Quotation ends. Now you can see why the Baha'is are so delighted when Christians ask them about false prophets, because Christ himself told his followers, the Christians, how they could judge Baha'u'llah by his fruits. You have heard the opinions of illustrious Christian scholars, not Baha'is. You have seen how they have judged Baha'u'llah and praised him. You can judge for yourself by his teachings. You don't have to accept anyone else's opinion.
You will know that Baha'u'llah is a true and not a false prophet when you judge him by the standard of Christ himself. Baha'u'llah said we must have independent investigation of truth. "Look into everything with a searching eye," he said.
You will see that Baha'u'llah has indeed met every test set by Christ himself for the day of his return. There is another thing that people often say when first they hear about Baha'u'llah. They say, "Baha'u'llah is a new name to me. I don't feel at home with it yet." Well, that's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. Be delighted that Baha'u'llah's name is a new one to you. If it were not a new name, Baha'u'llah could not be the promised one. He could not be the return of Christ. So instead of this new name being a handicap, it's one of the best and most wonderful things of all. That's in the Bible. Perhaps the greatest of the prophets of Israel, Isaiah, spoke of the day when the religion of God would be spread around the world, the day which would see the glory of the Lord. "When that day came," Isaiah said, "his people, the people of God, would be called by new name." Prophecy.
Isaiah chapter 62, verse 2. "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name."
That is exactly what has happened. The justice and righteousness of Baha'u'llah has become known among the Gentiles, among all the peoples of the world. You have already heard some of the praise which Christian scholars and writers have given to Baha'u'llah. In yet another place, Isaiah makes that same promise about the new name. It is in chapter 65. Isaiah, also in chapter 65, mentions the new name. Prophecy.
"For the Lord God shall call his servants by another name."
In the 56th chapter, Isaiah again mentions this new name. In that same chapter, Isaiah also mentions God's holy mountain and says that there will be a house of prayer for all the peoples of the world built there. Listen to what Isaiah says in these excerpts from that same chapter 56, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Even unto them will I give a name better than the sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people.
It is clear that this new name refers to Baha'u'llah and the Baha'is in the last days, and not to Christ and Christianity, because Christian scripture also prophesies of this same coming day, a promise of a new name that will be given to the followers of Christ on the day of his return is found in the book of Revelation. Prophecy.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.